Division 2022-08, Walden 3.
This is a coastal area cluster subdivision to divide 24.136 acres, more or less, into 21 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the northeast side of the intersection of Sloan Road, which is Sussex County Route 49, and John J. Williams Highway, which is Route 24. The 911 address is not available. The tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 17, Parcel 29.00, and the zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District, and MR, medium density residential district. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, we have a copy of a deed for the parcel, we have a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C report, we have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report, we have copies of the TAC comments, including a letter from the Division of Public Health, a letter from the Delaware Department of Agriculture, a letter from Sussex County Engineering, Utility Planning Division, a letter from US Fish and Wildlife, a letter from the DENREC Division of Watershed Stewardship, and we also have a letter from the US Department of Agriculture. And I would note that we have received one letter in opposition, which is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
All right, sir. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the Commission. My name is John Horner. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Burton's Pond LLC. With me is Jamie Seckler, a licensed professional engineer with Davis Bone and Friedel, as well as Ben Gordy with the applicant. The applicant has submitted an exhibit book for your review. It has been before you for at least 10 days. I'll provide a brief overview and discuss the project's compliance with the AR1 cluster ordinance, the requirements of Sussex County Code 115.25 ENF and the 99.9C requirements, and the consistency and conformity with the comprehensive plan. This project is known as Walden 3. It's a proposal to divide 24.136 acres of land into 21 single-family dwelling lots as a cluster subdivision in the Agricultural Residential 1 Zoning District and the Medium Residential Zoning District. The split zoning on this property was caused by the realignment of Sloan Road, which was completed related to the Walden and Villas at Walden subdivision. And as a result of that rezoning, the property had split zoning between MR and AR1. Let's see. The entire project is located in the coastal area, which is a designated growth area according to the comprehensive plan. A portion of the site, currently estimated to be 11.952 acres or 49.52% of the site, will be open space subject to final site engineering and agency approvals. The proposed cluster development is superior in design to a standard subdivision, as the project proposes significant amounts of open space, buffers to protect environmentally sensitive areas on site, including regulated wetlands, and a stormwater management system that will act as an amenity and natural companion to the natural features on site. The project is located in Harbison on the southeast side of Route 24 on a parcel of land identified as tax map parcel number 234-1729. Property is currently a vacant use, and if approved, again, there would be 21 single-family lots, which would be an actual density of 0.87 units per acre, where the code permits 2 units per acre in the AR1 zoning or 35 units by right on this property. Walden 3 complies with the purpose of Sussex County Code Section 115.19 and the comprehensive plan by proposing low-density single-family residential development that protects and buffers wetlands and scenic views. Specifically, Code Section 115.20 of AR1 permits single-family detached homes on individual lots. The parcel is located, again, partially in AR1, which requires a minimum lot area of 7,500 square feet, and in the MR residential district requires a minimum lot area of 10,000 square feet. All proposed lots comply with that, as the minimum lot size currently proposed is 11,989 square feet and a maximum lot size of 50,010 square feet, with an average lot size of 23,655 feet. All proposed structures will comply with the height, area, and bulk requirements of the code sections and the cluster subdivisions with central sewer. The project is located within investment levels 2 and 3 on the 2020 state strategies map. The project complies with Chapter 115.25E of the AR1 district design requirements for cluster developments for the reasons stated in the project reference materials provided to you by Davis, Bowen, and Friedel. I'll touch on some of those, but I don't want to give an exhausted list in the interest of time. The proposed cluster development complies with the community design section of the comprehensive plan. The housing types are limited to single-family detached dwellings. A forested buffer area with a minimum width of 30 feet is provided around the required areas of the property. The one exception to that I will note is on the right side, the property where the stormwater management pond straddles the line, that is a piece that is also owned by Burton's Pond LLC and is a single lot that is accessed by the road. No wooded buffer is currently proposed there. However, should the commission desire one in that area, we're certainly amenable to that. No proposed lots have direct access to state-maintained roads. All lots will be configured outside of the regulated wetlands, and the proposed community will be served by both central water and wastewater systems. Wastewater is anticipated to be provided by Sussex County, and water service will be provided by Tidewater. This project complies with 115.25F for a cluster development. That section, as you all are aware, requires homes to be clustered on the environmentally suitable portions of the property and provides for a total environmental design which are superior to that which would be allowed under regulations under the standard options. The proposed lots are located within the environmental suitable areas of the site away from the regulated wetlands. As you can see along Burton's prong at the top, there are regulated wetlands and everything is pulled in from that. The proposed limits of disturbance and tree clearing line is in from the rear lot line as well, in the interest of preserving trees. The open space provided meets the official definition of open space contained in 115.4 of the code and other open space requirements of the code. The applicant, again, has proposed over 46% open space. The code requires only 30%, and additionally, contiguous open space is proposed to be 33.35%. Open space in a cluster development further requires a pedestrian trail system accessible to residents, and there's a proposed sidewalk system within this community. Stormwater will be handled on site and will meet the current state of Delaware regulations. Stormwater facilities will be privately maintained by the developer, and eventually the homeowners association will assume ownership and control. The system will be designed in accordance with Sussex Conservation District rules and consistent with best management practices. Tree removal will be limited to what is necessary to construct the project. It's anticipated that the site currently contains 13.051 acres of forested area, of which 82% will remain, or 10.747 acres. Specifically, efforts have been undertaken to only clear select trees towards the rear of the lots located along Burton's Prong in an effort to save as many as possible there. The project preserves scenic views, limiting back-to-back lots, and again, preserving those scenic features and trees in those areas, and providing gaps between the lots. The land plan preserves the natural facilities and the proposed sidewalks and connections to DelDOT's proposed shared use path. And the open space adjacent to natural areas has been prioritized. Additionally, the plan and the design of the community took into account the natural grades and existing drainage of the property. Last, I just want to touch on the 999C portion of the code. Again, our submission is exhaustive and details each one of those points, so I'll try not to be redundant with many of those. I just want to touch on a few. The plan integrates a proposed subdivision in the existing terrain, as I discussed. Again, the landscape buffer is provided for, with the exception of that area, which again, if the commission would like, we are open to that. There's no known sites requiring historic preservation on site. All lots are outside of the regulated wetlands. A portion of the site is within the AE flood zone. The flood line runs along the rear of the larger lots, and there'll be minimum disturbance in that area. Let's see. Grade changes are going to be limited to what is necessary in order to provide positive drainage. Again, we've undertaken efforts to incorporate existing topography into the design. Let's see. Runoff from the project is directed via the closed road section and storm drain network into the stormwater management system in accordance with best management practices for stormwater treatment. The plan accounts for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site to adjacent ways. The interests of the community will be designed per current DelDOT standards, and all roadways will be designed in accordance with Sussex County standards. The community is not expected to have any adverse effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities because the proposed single-family dwellings will likely attract retirees and second home residents. The large amount of open space also provides for active and passive uses by community residents. The only access point that is proposed to this project is via Sloan Road. The developer's already invested approximately $3.5 million in infrastructure improvements to Sloan, Holly Mount Road, and Route 24 in connection with the adjacent Walden and Villas at Walden Development. Those efforts included the full realignment of Sloan Road to align with Holly Mount, as well as the installation of the underground utility lines for the installation of the traffic signal by DelDOT, installation of crosswalks, and multimodal paths. This plan also includes additional multimodal path in connection with that. The project is compatible with other nearby land uses. Again, we have townhomes directly across the street in the Villas at Walden, and then across the street is single-family homes, and there's a number of other communities in the immediately adjacent area that consists of single-family homes. And you know, I think that's it for the 999C factors. You know, and it's our belief that this plan is fully co-compliant and consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. If there's any specific technical questions, Mr. Seckler is able to answer them, or if there's any questions, happy to answer those as well.
All right, sir. Well, let's see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Hoy Stevens.
Just curious for us, when does something have to go through PLUS?
50 units.
And there was something in here about Fish and Wildlife wanted you to check for threatened species. Did you do that?
Come on up. Give us your name, please. You may have the floor.
Good afternoon. Jamie Seckler, Davis Bonaverdell on Park Avenue, Milford. Yes, there was a complete study done for all of Walden, Walden 2, and this whole area at the beginning whenever we developed those properties. And I believe it was.
Can you pull the microphone up a little closer? Yeah, just because I'm a little bit.
I'm sorry. Yes, there was a study completed, and we can provide that to the commission.
It's just because I read the question three times from DENREC and as I was reading through the paperwork. So.
Yeah, in the applicant's response, and I know there was a study conducted, but there's no known state or federally listed endangered or threatened species on the site. So.
Okay, and that was from the study you did. So. Yep. All right. All right, so this is going to be its own deal, or is this part, it's going to be, I'm sorry, you said this and it was in there, I just want it on the record. So, its own deal, or it's going to be considered part of all the other Waldens that are out there?
So, from a homeowners association perspective, it will be under the same association with shared amenities and under the same regime. The amenities consist of, across the street in the Villas at Walden, there's an existing pool and clubhouse. And then on 24 on the other side, there is a clubhouse that is under construction that now by the 180th building permit will be completed. And they'll have access to that. And again, with the intersection improvements, there's now crosswalks and a lighted interchange there to allow for safe pedestrian transactions across the street.
How many people are, how many houses are across the street from that?
So the Villas have 100 townhomes, and then Walden One, the single family side is approved for 265, and then this is 21 on this.
Okay, thank you.
And on that note, from a disclosure perspective, this section of Walden for all the existing homeowners in our public offering statements were required to issue by law. This area was identified as an expansion area, as well as the documents and declaration providing a sufficient buffer of units to allow for the incorporation of this into the community in the future. And that was all contained in public offering statements, which were disclosed and given to every buyer in the community in connection with their contracts.
Mears?
I don't have any, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Anything, staff?
None for me, thank you.
Okay.
None for me,
nope. All right, thank you. We'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2022-08 Walden 3. Yes, sir, in favor. Come on up.
There are more comments than favor.
Well, come on up. Yeah, come on up. That's fine. Yeah. I really think we ought to have a third category.
Yeah, just got
yeah we just have these two, so yeah. Anyway, go
My
ahead.
My name is James McKeon, okay. 26101 Milby Circle, basically Walden. I live in Walden 2.
Okay.
My first question, looking at the diagram, in this area there is a historic cemetery. I'm just questioning what plans there are to maintain the integrity of that cemetery during construction as well as after those homes are in place. If I'm reading the diagram correctly, The cemetery comes in between lots 19, 20, and 21. I believe it's those two small boxes. Mm-hmm. Up until now, I believe the other communities have been maintaining that cemetery. Quite honestly, the people that are buried there are the people that they named our streets after. So I'm just curious as to what the plan is for that cemetery once the project is complete.
All right.
Well, there are rules about how cemeteries are treated in the state. But.
Okay, so that will be communicated to us because I think a fair number of the homeowners on our side have questions about that.
As soon as you complete your comments, I'll give them an opportunity to respond. Okay. But do you have any other questions?
I do, and it was one of the questions was whether or not Walden 1 would be part of our amenities for Walden 2 and Walden 3. And I would like to understand what impact is being considered to those other communities, specifically Walden 2, which that pool has a limit, I believe, of 40 people. We do not have a clubhouse. We have changing rooms, so there's no parking per se with regards to requirements for a clubhouse because we don't have a clubhouse. Additionally, that street has been designated for now as a no parking street. So for 100 townhomes, the homes in Walden 2, and now these homes in Walden 1, there are only 16 parking spaces. So we have a street that's no parking, and we only have 16 spaces. If we can go out a little further to look at Walden 2, the space that shows parking, 8 spaces, which are over here, which are often designated as overflow for our community. Per the plan, those are designated school bus stop parking only. So given the fact that we have a pool now that accommodates 40 people, and I know you just ruled on condition 14 earlier with regards to, I believe, increasing the number of permits before the construction is done, what's the plan? Because the Walden 2 pool cannot accommodate all these people. There isn't sufficient parking. Plus, to add to that, as a homeowners association, we were told that the construction would be done. We were just communicated recently that the construction would be done by September of this year. Now, if I've heard correctly, we're upping the number of permits, which means that it could drag that out past this.
Who told you that?
As far as?
When the pool would be done in September, who said that?
Our HOA, and I hate to put you on the spot, but Shell, who is our HOA, Vice President, and Mr. Horner, who's the Vice President, through one of our representatives, told us the pool would be done by September.
All right, well, we'll find out about that here in a minute.
So those, I think, the concerns I would have, the cemetery, the parking for Walden 2, given the fact that we're adding additional homes for an amenity that's quite now overstretched.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. That's Mr. Horner, first of all, is this your maiden voyage in front of us?
No.
I'm trying to remember if I'd seen you before and if you presented an application before or if you'd just been in the crowd.
He's
presented before. He already got his bar ID.
Oh, okay.
I've already gotten checked for my bar ID.
Yeah, you guys all start running together after a while. Especially you're all growing beards now, so you all look like, so I don't know.
It's wintertime, you know, you guys keep your face warm.
Okay. The gentleman raised two or three good questions. Let's start with the cemetery.
Certainly. So the cemetery, Ed Otter performed a study to identify sort of the meets and bounds of where the cemetery area is, and that's why the lots are designed as they are. That area is identified, and there'll be a buffer fence basically installed around that. During development, of course, there'll be the temporary silt fence area as a limited disturbance, and then afterwards there'll be a permanent fence installed so that area is preserved and protected.
Okay, and what's the provision for ongoing maintenance of the cemetery? And
that would fall under the HOA to maintain it, although there's not much maintenance with respect to a cemetery other than landscaping, typically.
Okay. So your answer is you get to do it. Okay. All right.
On the point of parking on the other side, so first I want to make sort of a distinction. The villas at Walden ultimately ended up being developed by Lennar USM Corporation. They purchased the property, they were the developer, and they completed all the homes and units there. The parking situation that has arisen there, when the plan it was approved, I believe it's 2.5 units or 2.5 parking spaces per unit is what is approved, and that and it is a code compliant plan on that side. After the plan was approved, there were some complaints by residents in the community about parking on the streets and width of the streets and whether or not people parking on the street would create an impediment for emergency vehicles. Members of the community reached out directly to the fire marshal. Fire marshal said, hey, essentially the street, it's a code-compliant street, but it's too narrow to allow parking on the side. And so as an HOA, given that message from the fire marshal, we were compelled to create a rule that would not allow on-street parking. The parking that is available is in front of the amenity, as well as there is the overflow parking that is assumedly labeled as bus stop parking, but is used as overflow parking, and there's no HOA rules against that being used as overflow parking. There have been many discussions about the potential for increasing parking in this area. We've had conversations, frankly, with Lennar about that. To see if they would be open to, as the developer, coming back in. The property has been conveyed to the HOA. Of course, the HOA would be open to Lennar installing parking on the HOA's land. Lennar's position, as conveyed to me, is that everything was properly disclosed, that everybody saw it, and that they don't have any desire to install additional parking. From an HOA perspective, the board has made the decision thus far not to install additional parking and put that expense that serves a limited number of people in the community across the entire community. So that's where the parking issue stands. It's an ongoing discussion point that we're actively having with Lennar and with members, and I believe there's actually a meeting being scheduled with the villas and the HOA to dialogue this further, but it has been an ongoing issue since, but it is a code compliant plan. On the issue of the amenities and the timing of the amenities, the current schedule does indicate they will be done in September. The request with you all for the 180th building permit gives a little bit of wiggle room with that, because the last thing that I frankly want to do is, if it's not done in September and it's done in October because delays happen in construction, that I'm back in front of you asking a second time. We're committed to moving full steam ahead. In fact, footers were poured yesterday for the clubhouse. Construction is moving forward. It's a huge priority for our team, and I've stressed that. So I believe that timeline is still intact, and I will confirm that the HOA board member that is a community resident is regularly communicating and on top of it and asking for dates and times for access. Even during this meeting, she was texting me for a construction schedule. So they're on top of us. We're on top of it. We understand we've had some reputational damage by these delays here, and we really want to do our best to restore that.
What's the absorption rate at this development so far?
That is a good question. I can tell you the exact number. I know, I believe it's 137 building permits have been pulled, and with the first CO having been March of 2021, so roughly 2 years, we pulled 137 building permits. So give or take 65 a year, back of the napkin math.
What's it been in the last 6 months?
I'd have to look that up.
Majority, you have any idea?
I mean, sales have certainly slowed down, but we typically maintain a fairly healthy backlog. You know, giving the sales volume and the pace of construction. So I'd have to get back to you with those exact numbers of our absorption over the last 6 months.
That's all right. Just trying to give the those with an interest some idea of what the timeline associated with 43 building permits would be. You know, that's going to be the question, is that since that's really the limiting factor, I mean, September is probably pretty ambitious to think that you would have 43 more permits by then, but I don't know. It's not what I do every day. So that's why.
Yeah, I would not anticipate 43 permits by September, and there was, again, wiggle room built into that request, mm-hmm. because while September is when the current schedule allows for, I mean, even, you know, today footers report yesterday, and then it rained today. So that's a day lost right there, and that's the type of thing where, you know, construction's construction.
Well, I know. I get it. All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Well, one to a customer. You.
Just a follow up.
No, there's no follow up. That's what I'm telling you. One trip to a customer. But tell the guy sitting next to you, and he come up. Remember I said earlier, no matter what rule we make, there's always a way to work around it. That's the workaround for the one trip to a customer rule. You tell the guy next to you what you wish you had said, and then he comes up and says it. And
make,
here he
sure,
comes.
Make sure you don't have something else you got to say, too, that you want to come up again. Yeah.
Well, we limit it to one question.
One trip.
One trip. That's fine. So my name is Daniel Jetty. I live in the Walden Villas, 26075 Milby Circle. My concerns are several fold. The one that my neighbor was going to address is with respect to the parking. From what we understand, each of the homes that are four bedrooms were supposed to have a minimum of 2.5 parking spaces per household. And we believe that was not met. There are many of the single garage homes in the community, in the Villas community, that have such a small driveway and one parking garage that they do not have 2.5 parking spaces allocated per household. Taking into consideration that the overflow parking that he's referring to is not technically overflow parking. That is supposed to be for school bus parking. And the other 16 spots, although we don't have a clubhouse, they're not technically overflow parking as well. Right. So if you look at the entire plan, the 2.5 spaces is not enough. And we were not given enough space for most of the homes. Another note, going back to the amenities, as he alluded to, we were originally supposed to have the amenities completed by this past February. Mark Schaefer, who is a councilman, has issued a letter to Shell telling them that they were out of compliance. He did that last week. So I don't know, I'm assuming that your ruling today either negates that or maybe you didn't take that into consideration. They were out of compliance as of February. All amenities were supposed to be delivered by then. My other concerns with the plot itself, if you can expand out a little bit, I would be curious as to the amount of open space. If the dark green area to the top, is that marshland? Is that even usable by the people in the community? How could that even be really considered open space at all? Also, I do know for a fact that there are bald eagles that do fly in the area. If there really was a concerted effort to see if any of them do nest in that area as well.
They're not considered endangered anymore.
They're not endangered anymore. They're all over the place now.
Okay. So again, the open space, I just don't know if there's really that amount of allocated open space, given that most of that land up above is all marshland and really can't be utilized.
Well, what I can share with you on both of those topics is that the county has specific requirements for parking. The county has specific requirements for open space and how open space is calculated and what's considered open space. And this application before us today meets or exceeds those requirements.
That may be, but sometimes we look at the requirements and say, do they make sense?
Well, that's a great observation, and the time will come when you'll have an opportunity to testify to that the next time that we go through another round of ordinance changes.
Okay, and the only thing that I ask also is that, really my opposition to this is to really let them finish what the work that they're doing first, let them get the amenities in, let them finish across the street first, before they start disturbing all of us with more trucks and work crews. Sloan Street is a very small street. If we start having trucks down there and everything, I would wonder if there's another avenue for getting in there. It's a very small street. We have kids that meet in that bus stop area every morning to get the buses. What kind of conditions will there be met with large construction material being, brought in and out of there? The entrance to it is literally directly right across from the bus stop. Is there another way of, arranging that? Or again, let them finish what they're doing in Walden 1. Oops, sorry if I...
That's fine.
Let them finish what they're doing in Walden 1 first.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next?
Are we in for or against the
postponement? We're actually just sort of morphed from not exactly for to, I think we're up to against now. We're just going to ask if there's anyone who has an interest in this application, anyone would like to speak. Now is your time. Anyone else like to speak on this application, for or against, or not sure, or any means? Once, twice, all right, you just slipped in under the gate here.
Wasn't sure if I was for or against.
Well, that's fine.
Stephen Jeskowitz, currently living 701 Water Street in Seaford. Have a house under contract in Walden 1.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I have interest in that for that sake. I believe I'm a county resident, so I'm good to speak, correct?
You're good to speak.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I just want to, it's interesting that I found that you were asking questions about the applicant of this property that related to an earlier item of business you had that reflected 180 lots, building permits, is now the number of it Shell needs to meet in order to respect getting additional building permits with the clubhouse and amenity that's being built in Walden 1. This application by itself has no connection to the earlier decision that you made, although you did ask questions and you said how long will it take you to get to 180 building permits. While I'm due to close next week and move in, I know that there are people in the neighborhood that have been waiting a long time for those amenities to be built. Some of them, I think the first CO you said was in March of 2021, if that's correct. But my question is, you did not take any comments on that because it was not a public hearing, and I understand your policy. Right. The stated comment that you made was, these are minor administrative changes, I believe you said, and that they're not open to public comment. What is the mechanism to decide what is minor changes and what is a substantive change so that comments can be made? Because obviously, based on the questions that you were asking on this today, it may not be that simple to go to 180. While it's a simple decision for the commission to make, it impacts many people.
Well, here's the practical side of that. Those amenities do not exist today, right?
That's correct.
So if we said, no, you we're not going to do that, have we really accomplished anything?
You know,
because they don't exist, are they necessarily going to get here any faster, or is the applicant just going to be in violation?
I think we get the behavior, sir, that we incentivize. Would you agree?
Well, we're not going to debate this, but I am going to ask our legal counsel to address your question about what's minor.
So
and what's
in chapter 99, it talks about what triggers a public hearing, and if there's a substantial change to the approved final site plan, that triggers a new public hearing, and staff's made the determination that this one wasn't a substantial change. Now, the commission could have denied it and said it needs to go back through a public hearing, and then everybody would have had a chance to speak. On that particular one, and we're getting far afield from what the agenda is, the flip side of it is when that was approved, it referenced certificates of occupancy. The problem with that is, on the one hand, it's hard for staff to track those because you have a building permit, you have construction underway. It's a lot easier to deny the issuance of a building permit up front than it is to deny the issuance of a certificate of occupancy on the back end, particularly somebody like you who's all ready to go to closing, moving vans lined up, lenders ready to go, and the county says, we're not going to issue a certificate of occupancy. That impacts third parties like you. So that change also was significant, regardless of the number, to correct it so that it's more equitable to third parties like you and more trackable by staff like these guys. So
I guess my closing comment on that is, based on the questions that you were asking on this today, granted those amenities are not built and you can't make them happen any faster, but pressure for any subdivision developer across the entire county as you move forward to complete things that have been promised to the existing homeowners and future homeowners, and by no means am I saying you did it willy-nilly and just said, well, you know, 130 is this, but now we're going to go to 180 or whatever it may be. In today's environment, 180 could be another year and a half. So the forcing the developers to live up to the expectations for people that they sold property to, the only forcing function for that really is the county. And if it is building permits, or is it COs that drive that?
Well, it's supposed to be building permits.
Okay, so in that case, once construction starts, someone like me, and by the way, the CO was issued already for the house before I came here today.
You're under the wire.
Yeah. But I think that forcing function to force them to do that, the debate as to whether or not additional lots should be added to an existing HOA, if in fact those disclosures were made. And some could argue more lots are better because you have more money going into the HOA. Some would argue you have limited resources. But in this particular case, I find it a little bit disturbing, and I'm new to Sussex County, a little bit disturbing that the questions that were asked during this debate, or this open, what are we in here? We're in a public hearing. During this public hearing, could have impacted the decision that you made earlier on allowing the developer to go to 180 lots.
It's irrelevant. I understand what you're saying. Sometimes, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. And I was simply trying to address the gentleman's concern and try to help him understand and bring a little sense of what that timeline might have been. I already knew the answers to those questions, okay? I was asking them for your benefit, not mine.
Well, and I appreciate that, and make on the record, because now we have comments that were made on the record, and I know I saw pictures online of footings being poured and things, but again, that's the only forcing function, and as to the...
Well, and I'll just say there's a couple things, because we need to move on, because it's outside of what was on the scope of the agenda, so... It switched to building permits. The county has no problem saying to the developer, we're not issuing any more building permits until you do X, Y, and Z. I mean, I just had a big meeting about that possibility yesterday with the developer. The second thing is amenities are bonded now. So if it doesn't get built, there's actual financial guarantees that it's going to get done. The third thing is we just introduced at Council Tuesday a new ordinance that will change how these are handled so that it's set for everybody. It's the way it was introduced. It's 60% of all the building permits that are issued. So it'll be uniform throughout the county so that it's predictable. We're kind of predictable within a range right now, but not predictable, you know, that everyone's the same. And as we saw on this one, it was done by certificates of occupancy, not building permits. So we're improving on it. But there is assurances in place that, you know, you're going to get to 180, and if the amenities aren't done, they're not getting 181.
181 will not be issued until everything.
And if something happens where any developer goes belly up or walks away, we're calling bonds and, you know, getting it built. So.
Well, I appreciate that. And the definition of significant could have, if that's more clearly codified in whatever county law needs to be done, that may make more sense. And then lastly, I did find it interesting that one of the comments that the developer made as to why they needed the extension was, you know, the COVID pandemic and things, but they built an awful lot of houses during that time, and I'd like to think that building a house and building the clubhouse aren't that radically different. And I'll leave my comments there, and I appreciate your time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Anyone else?
Can I ask
a staff question? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Can I ask a question to the applicant? Or does it
absolutely?
Well,
so
ask your question,
with,
and then we'll
with a lot of the talks of the villas at Walden and Walden 3 kind of being a little interconnected, especially with the amenities, I expect there to be foot traffic between the two, especially going across Sloan Road.
I was going to ask about that. Go ahead.
I was just curious as if they would be willing to work a little bit more with DelDOT and, you know, just possibly getting a crosswalk or some lighting in that area. Just being familiar, I know Sloan Road isn't a very well-lit road, so I just wouldn't want to see any dangerous.
Great question. Let's find out. Yes, sir.
Certainly. So we'll obviously work with DelDOT, and the entrance will need to be DelDOT compliant. And given the fact that amenities are accessed across the road, we would anticipate crosswalks being in that area. As far as lighting, you kind of go by DelDOT's guidance. I mean, Jamie can maybe speak more to that, but oftentimes I know DelDOT has restrictions on lighting related to where the light's shining and whatnot. But
let me add to that.
Sure.
So there will be a crosswalk at the intersection of Sloan Road and 24 that's signalized. It's there. There won't be one at your entrance going from Walden 3 to the village of Walden. It's considered a mid-block crosswalk and discouraged. So for foot traffic, they will have to go out, you know, they'll have to get their exercise and walk to the intersection and across and then back. But there are pedestrian facilities for both sides.
Okay, so my question's a little different.
Okay.
We have a precedent that when developers have developed properties across a street from their main development, that we've required them to have amenities on that property to keep people from running across the street all the time to, for safety reasons. So that's something I'd really like to see here. We did, like we've said before, that you don't have to have a pool on both of them, but there should be something that is an amenity that would make, that would give these people some reason to not have to run across the street all the time.
I remember that being proffered in the past after it was raised as a concern.
I know it's been on there before. And also parking for people who are dropping their kids off to get on the bus should probably be up there as well. Some space where they can at least pull over to the side while they're waiting for the bus. Because even though you must have old, your 99-9C stuff must be old, because you don't say that it's not going to affect the schools anymore, because we know that's not true.
On the point of the amenities, these lots were intentionally oversized, and pools are permitted in this area. So the view of this section was that with the massively oversized lots, that a lot of homeowners will opt to have pools in there. Frankly, with just the 21 lots, a pool on this side, as you saw earlier.
Oh, no, I think that would be crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, if the ask is for, amenities on this side, I think that you're still going to have a situation where people are still going to go to the other areas for pools.
But usually we would like to see some amenities, a tot lot, what is it? We've allowed in the past, we've allowed them to have tot lots. We've allowed them to have gazebos, barbecues, bocce ball courts, okay. Things like,
Yeah, we're certainly open to something reasonable like that.
Absolutely. Smaller stuff.
Yeah, we're not saying no.
Yeah, we understand that you're not going to build a clubhouse for 21 units. But point's well taken. And we had this debate, when this application first came in front of us about, the fact that there could be cross traffic,
and as for something at the front where people can park their cars for their kids to get on the bus, is there going to be any parking up there, or any kind of at least widening of the road so people can pull over?
Engineer's telling me that that's easy to do, to provide parking towards the front, so we don't have an issue with that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something you guys really need to keep in mind, because that's the new trend. Nobody drops their children off at the school bus stop anymore and leaves them there. They sit in the car with mom and dad until the bus gets there, and then they watch them get on the bus. And I would do the same thing if it were me. So that's what we really need to be accommodating today. So we definitely need some parking through school bus. Yep. So.
Those were my two things.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Anything else in the room? Okay. We're done in the room. All right. Operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to subdivision 2022-08 Walden 3?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. We have Deborah on the line. Deborah, your line is open.
Yes. Hi, Deborah Chen. I am a Walden single homeowner.
Uh-huh.
And my concerns are with the added 21 homes. I know you just spoke about limiting the permit to 181 homes. I would hope also that the committee would also not issue any permit in the new Walden Street that was just proposed. So no new building permit until all the amenities are built. I would like that for your consideration, put that constraint on the developer.
All right, we'll take that under advisement. Anything else?
No, that's all at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. Operator, anyone else standing by?
We have Yuli on the line. Yuli, your line is open.
Hi, I'm Yuli, 2243 Bridge Circle.
Thank you for taking my call. I almost sound like a record player by now about the traffic and the parking spaces. And again, I appreciate the conversation about the crosswalk, because the crosswalk they're talking about is, again, near the curb. And also, the crosswalk is going to be over the publicly maintained road. For the convenience or for the saving of the money for the developers, the public has to fund the crosswalk. I don't think that is right, especially for those people on this long road behind this area, probably about 100 homes or more. They will have to go through this, you know, crosswalk again. So that is one. And another thing is, of course, Walden 2 is already mostly done, and we're talking about the parking space situation there. And I think for higher density, if there's a public transportation, that is one thing. But if there's no public transportation, the higher density has to be reconsidered because of this parking space, parking situation. Unless the streets are widened so that the people can park on the street.
And outside.
So that is my concern. And also, I appreciate the talk about the amenities on the Walden 3 side, so that the residents can enjoy their some kind of amenities in their own area instead of going across the street or driving. And if there's not enough space on Walden 2 to park for the people from Walden 3, of course they will try to walk, and that could cause some problem there. So again, I'm talking about the parking and the traffic. And you know, when we look at Route 24 and Sloan Road, of course we love the traffic light there. And the traffic improvement, that was a great improvement. But with the additional almost 400 homes, we can see how the traffic is going to improve over, you know, over time in that area. And I hope we don't see any more crosswalk on Holly Mouth Road.
Oh, okay, ma'am, you're You're getting far.
So I just want to thank you for thinking about these issues, and you have a great evening.
Great, thank you. Okay. The only comment I think is that the improvements actually will be funded by the developer. The will not be the state that pays for that. It'll be on the developer's nickel to build the crosswalk and all that stuff, which is a great idea, and I'm glad that's going in. That's something that's going to be needed. Okay, operator, is there anyone else standing by?
We have Gene on the line. Gene, your line is open.
Hi, my name is Jean Marie Anser. I live at 24178 Bunting Circle in Hardy. My CFO for Walden 1 was issued on March 25th of 2021. My husband and I are the first full-time residents of this community. So, two points of clarification before I send my other point. One, the gentleman in the middle of the dais, when you were passing the condition number one for
2000. Ma'am, we're not going to rehash what ma'am, we're not going there. Excuse me.
Can
she not hear us?
She said when they were discussing
ma'am,
the amenities,
excuse me. Ma'am. Excuse me. Can you hear me? Yeah. No. No. Ma'am, can you hear me?
I bet.
No.
She was far afield and wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So
yeah, that
we've moved on.
Testimony has to be related to the matter that's in front of us. For those of you who are wondering why I'm so rude, that's why, because it really needs to be about this application, not about something that we did a half hour ago or whatever. So anyway, all right, operator, anybody else?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star.
All right, thank you. All right, commissioners, any further questions?
Just if we could make sure in the minutes that last caller, it was reflected that we discontinued the conversation because it was outside the scope of the public hearing, just so that's documented. Thanks.
Anything else? All right, then, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the day to see if we make a decision. Or you may wish to call the office in the morning.